It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time, and today I'm going to talk about episode number 41, Like Father, Like Clown. Written expertly, sublimely, beautifully by Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky. Directed by Jeffrey Lynch, assistant directed by Brad Bird. And what a pretty episode it is, direction-wise. And what a poignant, but also very funny episode it is, story-wise. I always thought this would be a nice one to set aside for a Father's Day show. But I just can't resist here in the middle of Hanukkah, talking about Krusty and his upbringing and his background and his whole backstory. I guess for Father's Day, I will choose one of the many other father stories and father-son stories that The Simpsons has. They really have them in abundance. Although, you know, I think there are more father-daughter stories than father-son stories. Let's gotta hand it to The Simpsons for that. Yes, already the comments are starting to come about this really, really good episode, which stars Jackie Mason debuting his role as Rabbi Hyman Krestovsky, Krusty's father. He won an Emmy for this, for the guest appearance. Very, very earned. And last night, while I was learning a little bit more about this episode, I found out that Jackie Mason used to be a rabbi. So that makes him just, I mean, he was already the perfect choice to play this character. But that really ramps it up. I mean, no wonder he was so good and so game and also so understanding of the seriousness implied in the role, even though it is not really that serious an event to play a rabbi on TV. So yeah, he was an ordained rabbi and he gave it up. He renounced the cloth to be an entertainer. And you can imagine how big a deal that was for him and his family and all this. Up until this point, Krusty, had showbiz jokes about him, but he really didn't have a backstory, and the jadedness of his character was not explained in depth, and the writers really did a whale of a job telling what to me is a totally believable backstory about Krusty growing up as a Jewish kid on the Lower East Side of Springfield and going against the wishes of his father. And we see echoes of this, like, in so many stories before and after, because it's so true of so many entertainers that, like, they are deeply, deeply traumatized and hurt. And that's why they pour themselves into their work and they have this bottomless need for acceptance from the public. One salient example, one of my favorite shows that I can think of, is BoJack Horseman, which is, you know, not the exact same kind of character, but has that same psychology. Well, so what happens in this one? We find out that Krusty is giving Bart the cold shoulder, and we get a little flashback from the Krusty Gets Busted episode. The end, when Krusty says that Bart is the only person that believed in him. Apparently, all this time since this happened, and Sideshow Bob went to jail instead of Krusty, Krusty has been owing Bart a makeup dinner. You know, he's been invited to Bart's house to hang out as a thank you. I shouldn't say makeup, I should say a gratitude dinner. And he cancels and cancels and cancels, and his assistant, Miss Penny Candy, who's such a cool character that unfortunately we don't see again. Or if we do, it's very briefly. Is just so full of chagrin and disgust at this, you know, that there's just, like, the one spark of decency that Krusty could be showing instead of going on the sex chat line and betting on fights and stuff. He's deciding not to do. And there's a whole bunch of this, of, you know, Krusty being a heel before we ever come to Jackie Mason and to the little boy Krusty explanation of this. And it is quite elegantly done, I would say. So Bart, having been snubbed for, we learn, not the first time, he's so disappointed that he revokes his membership to the Krusty Fan Club. And when Ms. Penny Candy gets the letter, she comes storming into Krusty's office and demands that he do this thing, you know, that actually he will come and hang out with the Simpsons. And so he does. There's an early glimpse at Mr. Teeny. I don't think he has a name at this point, but he comes out of Krusty's suitcase on his customary roller skates. And when told by Marge and Lisa that he can be himself around them, he says, "Go wait in the car." Mr. Teeny goes away. Oh, we could have seen a monkey. So he's serious. He says the blessing over dinner in Hebrew. And that is, you know, what sets the ball rolling, because it evinces an emotional reaction in him. And he says that it reminds him of his father. And he tells a long, long story about having a rabbi for a father who doesn't speak to him anymore. The whole, everything about this flashback is so quickly, like it's, you know, we know that it's long and that Krusty is overstaying his welcome in the house, even before he puts on the concert for Bangladesh, which is so good. And makes Milhouse cry because he's up so late. But within the space of just a couple of minutes telling this great story with Jackie Mason's voice and all this, a lot of ground is covered. And there's even, you know, it's surprising. It refers to other things like The Godfather Part Two and The Jazz Singer. And there's even sort of like a Philip Roth-esque moment when the rabbi is pounding on the door. What are you doing in there? You know, it's very sort of risque that he could have been doing something dirty in the bathroom, and he opens the door and it's a seltzer bottle that he spritzes on himself 1 second too late. I love that. All the way up through him performing in front of an audience of rabbis and twisting balloons into menorahs and Stars of David and stuff, where he is finally unmasked by an impetuous rabbi who, again, with the seltzer, makes his makeup come off. And that is where the trouble comes to a head. Right out of the gate, Jackie Mason is amazing as the benevolent rabbi going about the neighborhood, telling his friend that he should buy a Chrysler because great is the car with power steering, and other things too. Bart and Lisa learning about this and being compassionate to Krusty is not a unique thing here. It happens again in the Chester J. Lampwick episode. And I really like when that happens, when Bart and Lisa are teaming up, because they each bring something to the table. Bart, of course, could never do it without Lisa because she's so smart, but he has the passion. You know, he's the one who really loves Krusty. And all of the schemes are really good. Bart dressed as a tiny rabbi, and all of the different situations that you see Hyman Krestovsky in, like playing chess and sitting in the sauna and performing a bris. I'm sure the writers had a lot of fun with trying to dream up all of these venues for Bart and Lisa to approach him. Fun fact, I feel like Simpsons fans know this already, but one of the ruses that they cooked up was to have Krusty and his dad meet at a diner. They told Krusty that he was being given the Légion d'honneur, which is funny because it's a well-known gag that the Légion d'honneur is given to American comedians that Americans don't find funny, but French people really like. At the same time, they tell the rabbi that Saul Bellow wants to meet with him. The way it was written originally was that the person he was meant to meet was Isaac Bashevis Singer. And it would have been so much better, just because it's sort of more accurate. Saul Bellow is Jewish, but he's known for sort of a broader mystique than that. But Isaac Bashevis Singer died like during the production of the episode, so they had to change it to make it, you know, just to be more sensitive. So there's the re-recorded line, Saul Bellow, the Nobel Prize winning Jewish novelist, like, that he says twice, and it's fine, it's not awkward. But even this doesn't work because on the menu there's a sandwich named after Krusty and there's all these pork products in it. So Rabbi Krestovsky gets so mad that he goes away before Krusty even arrives. My favorite line in this whole thing, I mean, it's all very funny, but Jackie Mason really has my favorite little throwaway line. When Bart finally gets through to him, helped by Lisa, with the quote from Sammy Davis Jr. saying that the Jews are a real swinging people. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they've toiled and they've come through thousands of years of oppression and they've finally made it, man. The fact that he so solemnly takes this in and loves it and says, oh, never has the plight of my people been summed up so eloquently. You know, like, that's good. That's good already. But then Bart's revelation, like, this is, you know, these words were not by any scholarly person, but by an entertainer just like your son, Sammy Davis Jr. Hyman goes, the Candyman. Like, it just makes me feel very good. So based on this, he agrees to surprise Krusty at the show. And they have a tearful reunion. They sing. And it ends with Rabbi Krestovsky throwing a pie in Krusty's face, which is great. Even here, when it's just so, it could be over the top treacly, the treacle is cut with the spotlight joke. He goes, oh, you know, boys and girls, if I can be serious for a moment. And you think he really is going to be serious for it. And you are kind of ready for it, even. You've gone along for the ride. But then, you know, there's some bonus laughs there with the moving spotlight gag. Another line that I really like earlier when he's disowning him. At the Catskills performance. He stands up and he's like, if you were a musician or a jazz singer, this I could forgive. But a clown, never. Like, I like that reference and I like the delivery. Yeah, I mean, he works for his Emmy. I love it. I love the opening the door and saying, I have no son, slamming. Overhearing Bart saying, oh, it's the wrong guy. Opening the door again. I didn't mean that literally. Slamming again. End of the act. Krusty, in a sort of mournful falling apart mode. Talking about the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon that has just concluded. Sort of scares me a little bit with his pink, you know, bloodshot eyes and the way he, you know, sort of can't keep a straight face because he's crying and stuff. It is a little too grotesque for me, but it is funny in its grotesqueness that he really is that much of a mess over thinking about his father. Something that I always forget to mention is that Krusty shows Itchy and Scratchy cartoons that are thematically linked to the episode, the Simpsons episode that we are watching, and that it always happens, and it does happen here. Field of Screams, where Itchy and Scratchy both have sons that they're playing baseball with. The last thing I'll say about this fine, fine episode is that I would love to see the radio show Gabbin About God come back. With that great KBBL announcer, which design I do not take any umbrage to. What comedy writers think is the quintessential DJ look, the sort of skinny guy with a balding head and glasses, and but sort of like long balding hair and a t-shirt. Gabbin About God with Rabbi Hyman Krestovsky, Monsignor Kenneth Daly, and of course the Reverend Timothy Lovejoy, tying it all back to Christianity, or Protestantism I should say. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. And honor thy father and mother. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time.
Oh, my papa.
You know the words! This is the Everly Brothers. Singing Oh My Papa, anglicized version of Ach Mein Papa. And that has been Simpsons Time through the Debigulator for today, for this week. Of course, it is not Hanukkah right now, but the podcast episodes do not coincide with the actual year because the lectures themselves were recorded some time ago, you see. My name is Amanda Nazario. It is summertime right now, and I thank you for listening to this podcast during the summertime, or whatever time of year you happen to get around to it when it pops up on your computer or your device. You can always follow me on Twitter. I am at amnaz, AMNAZZ. You could also follow me on Instagram if you prefer. You could do both. My Instagram name is AM_NAZZ. That's all I have to say. I'll talk to you next time, which will be next week. Be good until then. Bye!